Well, welcome. It's great to see you here. And as we gather together, let's ask for God to speak in us and through us tonight to challenge and change us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are living and active through your word. You speak to us. Challenge and change us, we pray, as we hear these words from James. Amen. If you were in China right now and you were accused of being a Christian, would they find enough evidence to convict you? If they looked in your bank account and saw where your money went, could they spot the clues? If they went to your house and your home and looked through your books, would there be evidence there? If they tailed you, followed you, would you be convicted? As we look at this section now, you might respond and say, just because I've got a whole bunch of Christian books doesn't make me a Christian. And you're right. Just because I give money to Christian charities and to the church doesn't make me a Christian. It's that classic, just because I might occasionally sleep in a garage doesn't make me a car. But the evidence is there. You see, it is if you are consistent with your belief, there will be evidence that you do have faith and a belief in God. And in China at this moment, your benefits will be lowered, and unless you are part and parcel of the state church, we don't know. You will be asked not to go to church and put in prison, maybe. That's the state of the church around the world. James, we know, is in a scattered church. They're out. They're in the world. The question is, how will they behave? How will they live? True faith works. That's what I want to encourage you to think about. True faith works. In this section of James, God is challenging those who say they're Christians, but they're not consistently living it out. They claim to be Christians, but their actions are shouting something different. Those who think that faith and deeds can be separated, that idea that actually Christian values, going into school, I love school, I love the opportunities we have. But even conversation I had the other day was about, but if you asked me on a census, I'd put Christian. But am I a Christian? Not by your definition. Or maybe the Bible's definition. At school, we'll champion Christian values. But actually, is that just taking the character of those that are Christians and separating it from their identity in Christ? That's the challenge. That's where we're going to find ourselves in this section in James. But hold on, you say, stop. Because I know if I'm a good Reformationist, though that's probably not a made-up word, but if you love the Reformation, you know that actually sola fide, which is faith alone, will be a great mantra. One of the five mantras that they had. Faith alone, nothing else, just faith alone in Jesus Christ. That is the mantra that they shouted about. We've just read a passage that talks about faith and works. Is James and Paul going to go head to head in our passage today? Are we going to see conflict? Are we going to then throw them both out of the window? I'm going to suggest that actually we're not. And instead, we're going to see an amazing unity as they address two pressures from outside, two dangers that they're going to face. Well, James preaches faith and works. True faith works. And he's fighting those that basically are, well, he's fighting those who may say they're Christians, but actually their deeds are not following up. They say that they are Christians, but that's not enough. True faith works. Let me prove it to you. I say I love my wife, but she will tell me off if there is no evidence in my life that I love her. And I would hope and expect that actually that would be evident. And my two boys there are looking at each other, kind of going, The reality is that if we say we love, we need to follow it up. And in this passage, we're going to see that loving our neighbor must be followed up by actions that are in line with it. True faith's works. James is going to show us actually or compare true faith with an empty faith, a faith that is a devilish faith. Shocking. Devoid of right actions. The devil knows who Jesus is. That isn't faith. It's then living rightly in response. That is the truth. That is where faith, true faith, works. Now, Paul in Romans talks about salvation. He talks about that sola fide, faith alone, and rightly so, because people at that time were fighting a different battle. And the battle that they were fighting was that people were adding on to Jesus. Faith in Jesus alone is where we get our salvation. Stop adding other stuff on to Jesus. Jesus is a gift. It's not a gift plus other stuff. So Romans 4 is a great passage if you get a chance to look at it. Paul is fighting against those who were trying to add stuff to Jesus. No, salvation is a gift from God, and it's solely based on what Jesus has done. Yet true faith in Jesus is then lived out in gratitude. And Paul will point to Abraham, Romans 4, and you'll see James does as well. James, on the other hand, instead of this battle, was facing this battle, whereby people said they were Christians, they said they claimed to be Christians, but their lives were not consistent with that. They were worldly Christians, not wordy Christians. You'll have heard that already as we preach through James. They were worldly Christians, not wordy Christians. James is going to argue in this section that true faith will lead to actions and deeds that will be consistent with each other. There will be evidence, and that evidence will affect your priorities. It'll affect your passions. It'll affect your pockets. It'll affect your purpose. It'll affect your plans. All these things will be affected. I wonder whether there is much evidence in each of these areas. Put another way, just saying I love my wife is not good enough. Just saying I love my neighbour is not good enough. It must be followed up. So let's jump in and see much of that worked out here. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it say? What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? It's a rhetorical question, of course, but everybody in their heart of hearts is shouting, no! Quite simply, no. That kind of faith cannot save them. Verse 15, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Okay, another rhetorical question, but you get the point, don't you? What good is it? It's no good whatsoever. In the same way, so using those as powerful examples of it's a useless faith if it doesn't work, let's look at Abraham. Abraham, verse 6, believed God and he credited it to him as righteousness. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by deeds, by actions, is dead. Abraham said, I trust you, Lord, I trust you, Lord. God says to him, so go up to the top of the hill and sacrifice your son, Isaac. Well, I'd rather not, thanks very much, God. I've got other plans for him. Does that sound like, well, that sounds like an inconsistency with faith and actions. So Abraham is elevated and is as an example of one who does truly love God. And it's not that he's earned salvation by taking his son up to the top of a hill and threatening to sacrifice him. No, that hasn't earned him salvation, because God has chosen him as the gift before all this happened. That's where his righteousness comes. And this action is evidence of his righteousness that is found by faith in God. But someone will say, I have faith. You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds, says James. And he takes us into a devilish faith. He says, look, you believe that there is one God, good. So do the demons. The demons do, and they shudder. They even respond to the knowledge, and they understand who God is and who Jesus is. You read Luke's gospel time and time again, even the devil declares, even the demons declare who Jesus is. They know who he is. It's just the life in response to Jesus. That's where the difference is. That's where we see true faith works, not the devilish faith that is referred to here. Well, interestingly, James goes on and uses Abraham as an example, just like Paul in Romans 4, to make his case. And it reinforces the fact that James and Paul are on the same page. They're not at odds. They're fighting two different battles. Verse 22, you see that his faith and actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Faith, complete faith, is seen in evidence of how we live. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was called God's friend. That friendship with God was seen. Is your friendship with God seen? James draws attention to Abraham's complete faith, this completed by a life of friendship with God. It's littered with deeds. So verse 24, you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. So saving faith is worked out in deeds. It's therefore considered righteous. You can't do it the other way around. You can't start with the deeds and then gain salvation because of your deeds and then believe that you are righteous. It doesn't work that way around. A faith with no deeds is dead. It's considered unrighteous. It is a devilish faith. It's a kind of oxymoron, if you want to think of it like that. It just doesn't make sense. It's an opposite. True faith works. And so James takes us to one more example, to Rahab. Rahab, we hear about Rahab the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. Did she earn her salvation? No. But she had faith in the God of the Israelites who were just about to attack. And there was evidence by how she treated those that were coming in, the spies. As a result, she's in the hall of faith, Hebrews 11, 31. And we finish this section with a picture of a corpse. I don't know when the last time that you saw a corpse was, but a corpse, a body is dead without the spirit. That's what it talks about. A body without the spirit is dead. Don't expect anything. But that is the picture that James is challenging those that are listening, saying, have you got a corpse for a faith? Is your faith dead? Is it a devilish faith? Well, of course, the response is no. But hear the challenge, Christians, brothers and sisters, those scattered in the world don't have a worldly faith that looks like a devilish faith. Instead, wake up. Let your faith in Jesus be seen. May it shine through you as it did through Abraham and Rahab. May you, as they knew the gospel in advance, May you see and know the gospel today and live it out with that completed faith, with that sacrificial giving, with those risky actions, because you love Jesus and show your love for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this section in James that challenges us to be consistent with our lives, not double-minded, but that we would be consistent with our faith and working it out into actions. We ask that by your Spirit, you'll be putting your finger on areas of our lives where there is inconsistency. Challenge us and change us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.